Oh, you're going to hear an explanation of that again. Okay. So, get element by ID is a DOM thing. DOM is document object model, and DOM is an extension of JavaScript. And the first example we're looking at is called pass function DOM.html, and it is under JavaScript, which is under HTML5, so it's HTML5, JavaScript, and then scroll way down to get DOM examples. And this first example has a function called basic hello, and I'm sending nothing to basic hello, and I'm receiving nothing from basic hello. How I'm going to get the data is I'm going to use an ID. So I give the fields an ID, and I say, I want the field that has the ID of first in. And to get that, I use get element by ID, very explicit, get element by ID. And then in parenthesis, I put first in quotes, and it goes down and looks at what's in the input box that has an ID of first in, and it concatenates that with the word hello. Because I'm saying that I want whole name equal to hello concatenated with get element by ID first in. Since I'm taking it from a text box, I have to use value. And, okay, so I'm using value, and then I concatenate that with a space, and then I concatenate it with whatever is in last in. Okay. And then I want to print it out on the form, so I say, okay, now take whole name and assign it as the value of the field called, with the ID called name out. So I have document get element by ID name out, and I'm putting something there. So I'm saying put whole name in as the value in the field that has an ID of name out. And so it puts it in there, and I now have hello Susan Ash.
Explain that last part again.
Okay, I put the in the function, I put whole name together, right?
Yeah.
So I've got whole name now says hello Susan Ash. So I'm now saying assign whole name or put whole name in as the value of the field that has an ID of name out. Of the field that has an ID of name out. And I do that using the get element by ID. So I'm saying find that field that has a value of an ID of name out and change its value to whatever I have in whole name. So its value becomes whatever is in whole name. Yes, no, maybe?
Could you have named it whole name? It just would have been confusing.
Yes. I could have given it an ID of whole name. I just kind of try not to duplicate things like that because for just the reason you cited.
But so line 20 is just fully figuring out what's going to go in the whole name.
Exactly.
And 21 is designating what you found for the whole name to be put in where an ID shows name out.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
Now, when I was looking at these last night, I couldn't see any difference in number two.
So I have two more questions.
All right.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Looking at 60 and 17. So that's how you tell it in the... We're in the head. So that's how you tell it in the head that you want to use the whole name. You first... anything with calculations, you have to do VAR, right?
You can get away without the VAR, but it's nice to define it.
Yeah, so that's what I'm just trying to remember. So if you define it, always when you're doing calculations or things where it has to grab it, put it in the head, calculate
right.
It, and throw it back into
the body. What these are basically is I need a work area. And I'm setting up a work area in memory to hold this while I'm putting it together. So a variable is just an area in memory, and I'm setting it up and calling her whole name. And I'm saying, this is what I want to put into whole name. I want that one thing concatenated with another thing, concatenated with another thing, concatenated. So I'm clumping it all together, and in memory, I'm now going to have whole name, and inside the whole name area, it's going to say, hello, Susan Ash.
What did you have to, I know we have to add function, but why did you have to do function, basic hello, instead
because
of,
down here, I have to call the function by name. I can call it anything I want, but when I say on click, do that function, it has to be able to find a function by that name.
So wait, when you're doing calculations, you actually have to have the function more than you have to have the variable. Like what I'm saying is actually putting it in your coding.
Yeah, the function is critical because it won't execute the function if I don't do it. And that variable whole name actually could have been defined inside the function. I defined it outside on this particular one.
Yeah, because I remember on the other one, function was first.
Right.
That's probably what I was getting confused.
I can define the variable either place.
So function is the start of pulling it and calculating it.
Right.
And the variable is just saying,
This is a work area memory that you can use when you need to.
So it's kind of like paragraph or something.
No,
like that.
It's a work area memory. Paragraph is something on a form.
Okay.
This is an area in memory that I've set aside. And that area in memory has an address that it knows what the address is. And when I say put this in whole name, it puts it in that address in memory. And it keeps track behind the scenes about what address is that.
Oh, so could you actually do that if you were doing multiple pages to just do that? Because you said it keeps it.
In memory, right.
In memory.
Well, it keeps it, but it also keeps track of the address. And sometimes it's a little tricky to pass the address on to a second page. So that's not as easy as said than done.
I think I'm thinking too far ahead, aren't I?
Yes.
I'm thinking of, what is that language called? It starts with a P, I think.
PHP?
Yeah, PHP does that, where they do an equation, and then you can distribute it to
multiple. Oh, all languages do, but, you know, it has to be, there's a way of doing it, is what I'm saying.
So this
it's not just magic.
So this is how you do it in Java.
Yep. Or how I set it up for this particular thing in Java. Okay.
Thank you.
Huh?
Thank you.
You're welcome. So I'm skipping that one because I don't see the difference. If it is, it's very subtle. And it was too subtle for me last night. Okay, so now I'm going to do another one. John Doe.
So this is the third one down there,
yep.
Right?
Yep. And this one is called pass function name DOM or something on that order. Okay, now this one, I truly debated whether to do this or not. But if, just kind of try to bear with me on it. Because there are a lot of people that are taking this course that are going to need this if they're in the web program. So anyway, what I've got here is the same thing, a basic hello. And now I'm using getElementByName. Well, getElementByName, notice there's an S in it. It's getElementsByName, and I think I said getElementByName, but it's actually a getElementsByName. So, this ends up setting up, because it's a plural, it ends up setting up an array. Now, in fact, that's lovely that it's setting up an array, but I don't need it this time because I've only got one first name and one last name. So it's going to set up an array, and the array is going to be called first names. But I'm only putting one thing into it. So in fact, I probably wouldn't use this in reality. I'd use getElementById. But if I had multiple things that I wanted to put in, I'd use it. So it sets up an array. And then I say, all right, now the array is called first names. Go get first names modified by 0. And remember, we just looked at that with the radio button. Modified by 0. And put that in first name. So first names is an array, and first name is an element. It's just one of the things in the array. Well, I only put one thing in the array, so that's all there is. So I type John Doe, and right now John Doe is in the array, and the array is called first names. And there's only one thing in the array, which is the zeroth element, and it has the name John Doe on it. But if I had multiple names that I was typing in, John Doe would be the zeroth, Ann Smith would be the first, Linda Jones would be the second, and so forth. So the name of the array is first names. And then I said, okay, now get the element from the array, even though there's only one, modify it by 0, and put that into first name. So in other words, get element by ID gets a single thing. Get element by name, elements by name, is capable of getting multiple things. But it's also capable of just getting only one thing. But it will set up an array of the things, even if it's only one. And when I want to refer to the thing, I have to use the 0 in square brackets. So first names modified by 0, its value, I'm putting into first name. And I'm doing that because I want to now be able to just talk about first name.
Wait, so does this mean that it's kind of trying to think if you put 4 names in that first category?
Yes.
So if we put John, Max, Paul, John,
yes,
0, Max, 1, Paul,
yes,
2, within the first part, the first names array.
Yep.
Okay.
So now whole name equals hello, concatenated with first name, concatenated with last name, and so forth. And then get element by name again is going to set an output up, an array out for output. But I'm going to only use one element, so I'm saying put the whole name into the zeroth element in there. Make it the zeroth element. Okay. This is kind of sophisticated. Feel free to ask me questions. But it's a little sophisticated, so you probably won't end up using it a lot. You may, because you've got more programming background. But the three people in front of me probably will be taking further courses before they start using things like this. But if you understand the concept is that it sets up an array, but I only have one thing called first in, so therefore it's only got one element in the array, but I still have to tell it the 0, that it's the 0 element, because even though there's only one thing in the array, it is set up for the potential of more. And it seems to be making sense to you all. Yes? No?
Yeah, it's just more of the trees. Oh, that doesn't make sense. Like, the arrow is in coordinate, coding. If you do a really good job at, you know, showing people your work, you'd make these arrows when you code.
Okay.
Like, these little things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just the same thing, only we're not seeing the arrows for the zeros or ones in the box. It's already done behind the scenes.
Right.
Yeah.
I think.
What's really the advantage of using this over just a normal JavaScript?
Well, if somebody has multiple last names,
that for this particular thing, but for using DOM, I think is what you were asking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, one of the things that we'll get into, and I'm not sure we'll get into it much today, but we will next week, is you can set up an area in the middle of the page, and then using DOM, you can go and suddenly fill that area as you're going along. So it gives you a lot more power than JavaScript gave you. JavaScript was first designed so that you could get ifs and loops in there. Because you needed ifs and loops. And then as web pages, it's incredible what's happening. I mean, the internet started in the mid-50s, right? Or at least for popular use in the mid-50s. Mid-90s. I mean, I can remember using it with my daughter at some point around then, but it wasn't very easy to use. So if you think about it, 20 years has been incredible what's happened. The internet was designed by scientists for our scientists to communicate scientific facts, you know, across the Atlantic, basically. And they didn't care what things looked like, and they didn't care. They just wanted to communicate facts. And, you know, you look at it now, and it's just grown in leaps and bounds, like CSS. When we started out, there was no such thing as CSS. Now there's CSS. You know, JavaScript started out as this itsy-bitsy kind of, let's get some ifs and loops in there, and it's grown tremendously. And then as people said, ooh, wouldn't it be cool if, things kept expanding to keep up with being cool if. And, out of control.
I took a computer engineering class, and one of the first things we learned is that technology, it progresses exponentially.
Absolutely. And the percentage that I know and you know decreases on a daily basis. You know, I used to say that I knew, you know, whatever. I'm way down under 1% and sinking real low because there's just such an incredible amount of information out there. Nobody can know it all. You have to have an area that you understand and know. And even then, it changes on a daily basis. And the problem is there are a gazillion people out there changing. How do I keep up with the gazillion people that are all making changes? I can't. So I get stupider every day. Even though I learn new things every day, I still know less every day because there's just so much that is being developed.
Like one step forward, 10
exactly.
steps back.
And you have to just keep learning in this field. You know, when you're out of school in some fields, you never have to learn a whole lot. In this field, it's a constant challenge. You know, you have to keep up constantly. Okay, so enough on the commercial or whatever it was. Now we're going to look at this, which is the fourth example down, get by ID. Okay, so what I've got here is I have set up, well, I put some information up there that we can look at first. This code shows a link to my website. I want to change it to link specifically to the CIS 122 homepage. I'm going to use a document method called getElementById. Notice that I have to use document when using this method. Note that the inner HTML property lets us set or get the text of the link. In this case, I'm going to change GrosserWeb to CIS 122. So, I'm sitting here and this is what I've got. When I click on this, and if I click on GrosserWeb, it takes me to my home page. If I click on the change, and now I see CIS 122 there, and if I click on that, it takes me to my 122 page. Okay. So, how did I do that? Magic.
Yeah.
So, here's what I've got. Okay. First of all, I said, on click, do the function called modify the link. Okay, so I've got this button that I set up. Notice I put the button inside a form, but you don't have to. Buttons can be put on without being inside a form, as can input boxes and everything. But I have got form there. So when I click on that button, on click, I'm going to do modify the link. So I go up to modify the link. And notice I gave the line right above the form the ID of the hreference. Okay? So it's got the hreference, and the hreference is linking to my homepage and has the words Grocer Web. So when I click, I go to the function, and it says document, get element by the hreference, and it says change the inner HTML. So when we're talking about changing the inner HTML, we're talking about that, Grocer Web. It's going to take that CIS 122 and put it into Grocer Web, and you saw it do that. And then I said, okay, so that's inner HTML, meaning change the words. And then I said, okay, now change the hreference. And so the hreference is no longer going to be my page. It's now going to be to my site, rather. It's now going to be to a specific page on my site. So it is changed, and it is going to go to the specific page on my site. So if I look at the source has changed. Okay, there's the source, and when I click on it, it's going to change. Okay, the source of the original is still there. But when I click on it, that source, that part right in there is going to change. Okay. If I go back, or reload rather, it comes up as Grocer Web. Click to change, it's now CIS 122. Reload, it's back to Grocer Web. Click to change, it goes to CIS 122. Okay. The view source is still what is being sent down to the website. What's being sent down to the website has got the Grocer Web. But then while it's sitting down there, I can make the change.
Did you add another feature or another function?
Yes.
Where you change the button back to...
Yes, and in fact, I do that on one of these. I can't remember which one, but yes, I do. So you can change it, have another button that could change it back.
Yeah, just because like after you press the button, you're done with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Just put on another button and have exactly the same thing, except change it back. So change the inner HTML back to Grocer Web, and change the hreference back to my hreference.
So you would just like copy that function right below it?
Right, I'd make another change back. So I'd have function change back. Okay, that's actually a good one. Go ahead and do it.
Function.
Take a minute. No, you do it. Copy and paste this. And what have I got here? I want to bring up Notepad. So copy it and paste it into Notepad, and let's make the change. So you work on it. What he wants to do is put on a button that would change it back.
Well, I was wondering, could you do it with the same button?
No. Oh, there's probably a way, but it's not going to be a simple way to do it. So, anyway, stop talking and do. So I want to make a button that says on click. I'm going to change back. So now I've got to put in here a function called change back. No peeking.
What are things that you put inside forms usually?
Things you put inside forms usually.
Just because you have a button inside of a form and you're saying it doesn't have to be.
You don't have to have the word form. You can have a button without it. I usually put buttons inside forms. But you don't have to.
So forms are more used for buttons, though?
Well, they're used for input boxes. They're used for all the things that we've been doing all morning. I'm waiting to see if I did. Spell change back, but that's all right. Okay. Try to fix what you broke.
You got it?
Yeah.
Sorry I'm late.
That'll teach you to ask if you could do this.
No, I'm determined.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
For work. Okay, Sammy, you got it.
You semi got it?
Sort of. I got it to go to the main page again, but I didn't get it to change it back to normal.
Okay. Then probably you need to change both things in the function.
Right. Oh, I got it now.
You got it?
Yep.
Now, why can't I take a picture of this?
That's a better question.
Yeah, no, it looks like I actually was able to take a picture. Twice it went blank on me when I tried to change the picture. Okay, so what I've got here is I added a second button. And you can see I added the second button down here and I said onClick do change back. So that was the name of the function that I decided to call it changeback. And so now I've got function changeback. And all I did in function changeback was copy those two lines. It's just that I changed the CIS 122 to say grosser web, and I changed the HTTP to not have the slash PFG CIS 122 on it. Okay, so that it just went to my home page. Now, why does my home page not have a slash in the name of a page? Because my home page is index.html. And so the first page that you want to come up at a site, because you don't want people, you know, when you write your advertisement on your truck and you want people to read the advertisement and know what the site is, you want as brief as possible. So you want to give them the .com or .net or whatever address and not have it mixed in with a page as well. So if you put your home page as index.html, then when you go to your site, it will bring up your home page because it will look for index.html. And I think you can also have main.html. There's a couple of words that it will look for. But it will bring up index.html. So I can just write www.pgrosser.net, and what it's actually loading is pgrosser.net/index.html. Okay, so that works.
So all you do is flip the lines and take out the...
I just copied the lines, didn't flip them, just copied them.
Oh, you just...
And then exactly. Changed... Yeah, I just copied these exactly, but then I changed the value there from CIS 122 to Grosser Web.
That's what I did.
And I changed the address there to not have the slash with the page name after.
Oh, okay, I see.
Okay. So that's all I did, and I added the second button to make it happen.
But I have a question. How do you get your URL to be so pretty? Like right now, if we go to one of ours, it would be like sysweb dot, you know, WLE.
And if I go to Bristol's, mine is too. I own a site. I own
is
a domain.
Is that why yours can look so pretty?
Yeah, I own my own domain.
Right. Oh, okay, so you're really telling people your domain with that.
That's right. I mean, I own my own place. I'm a customer of somebody that has the server and everything, but I bought my own domain.
Okay.
And so I've got my own area out there. And some of the stuff I store at CIS Web, but whenever I store anything at CIS Web, I have the same long address you do.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Because you're off of somebody else's domain.
Yeah, right.
Domain's like a one-time fee, or like, do you have to like constantly, it's like a rental service.
Yeah. No, I mean, I bought my name, and I bought the P. Grosser net. When I went to buy it, I was planning to buy pgrosser.com, but somebody had already bought that, and they were selling it for something on the order of $10,000 or whatever.
What?
And, or $5,000. I mean, it was a ridiculous amount of money. And what they had looked at is P. Grosser with the name Grosser. It sounds like a grocery store might like to buy it.
Right.
And so it was some ridiculous amount of money. And pgrosser.net was available. So I said, okay, I'm buying pgrosser.net. And I bought it for, I think, 10 or 20 years or something. I bought it, you know, so I didn't have to worry about renewing it, because it was real cheap if you buy it for a whole lot of years. And then I went and found some place to host it. And they are hosting my domain for me. And they send me a bill every year for doing the hosting. Okay, so I have to pay for the hosting, but I own the domain name from now until God knows when. And but the hosting, I have to pay a yearly fee to host. Okay.
You would need to do that if you rent your own server, right?
That's right.
Okay.
But I much prefer having them in charge of backing me up and doing all the kinds of things that they do as a service.
So for us, does it go something like this? BCC owns a server, and SysWeb would be the domain, and then we are just the clients that are inside
right.
the domain.
And there's lots of companies that let you have, for example, I used to tell my students to go to Brinkster because they allowed you to have free websites, but they don't anymore. But Brinkster, there are other places that will give you free websites. You can go and get a place where you can put up a free website. That's right. That's right. Yep, that was another one. And but frequently the ones that are free include their address, their name, like Brinkster, in the address because it's advertising.
Yeah,
you can technically end up like buying them out like a certain way. Like you could do that with blogging platforms, like Blogger and Tumblr. You can actually just buy a custom domain.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Right. But if you want free, usually. And there may be exceptions, but free usually includes their name in there because that at least they're getting advertising that way.
So
when people go
first,
to your site and see Brinkster, for example, they think, oh, Brinkster, and they, you know, might check it out.
It would be listed first, right? So
I believe that's the way it was.
So let's just say you have a Brinkster, www.brinkster/pgrosser.net.
It was something like that.
Okay.
Okay, so now I'm looking at test1.html. And this just shows you some of the stuff that you can get from this. And again, it's easier on me if I don't expand this too much, because then we can see both sides. So bring it up and make sure you can see the code. Okay, so I first set up a list of topics. And I gave the topics a name, and I call them HTML, CSS, JS, and DOM. And what else did I do? At some point, I put in two images. They're down here, and those have an ID of right side up and an ID of upside down. And I gave them an alt because you can't have images validate if you don't have an alt. So, now I said, here's some interesting information about my list. Document right. There are, and notice I'm in JavaScript, there are, and then I concatenated that with document anchors length. Okay, so I am looking at A's or anchors, right? So I'm looking at the places that I have A for anchor, and I've got four of them up there. And so it is saying document anchors length. Length in this case means how many. So it's telling me there are four anchors. Okay, because I have four. Okay, so this is basically length in this case is how many. And it's telling me that I have four anchors. Okay, so if I want to know information about how many I have of something, I can get that information. So I wrote out, I have four anchors, and that's right there. Okay. Then my next document write says you can use this for other things like forms, links, or images. So I could count the number of forms I had. I could count the number of links I have. I could count the number of images that I have. And in fact, down below, I do count the number of images. If you look right below the images, you can see I said document right, there are document.images length. And it comes back and tells me that there are two images. And that's right, there are two images. Okay, so I can count how many of something I have, if I care. Then I said, okay, now document write. And this again is going to show the use of the array behind the scenes. Because I have four things up here that have the A in the anchor in them. And so I'm saying document write anchor three. Okay? So this first one is anchor zero. This one is anchor one. This one is anchor two. This one is anchor three. So when I say write document.anchors to the three in those square brackets, it gets me the third one. And what I said was, show me the inner HTML. Well, that right there is the inner HTML. That is the inner HTML. So it is showing me DOM. Okay? And you can see that written here. Okay. If I had put a 2 there, what would it be showing? If I put a 2 inside the square brackets?
JS.
Well, it'd be showing JavaScript, because it's actually showing the HTML. Okay. So it would be showing JavaScript. And if I put a 0 in there, what it would be showing me?
HTML.
An XHTML. Okay. So then I said, okay. Now, so right there, that gives me some kind of interesting stuff that if I wanted to see for some reason the third one in the list, I could display that. And then I went down and I say, okay, I'm going to set up a field called index. And I usually spell index wrong because in a lot of languages, the word I-N-D-E-X is a reserved word, meaning that it has a special meaning. Well, if I call it I-N-D-X, that's not a reserved word, so I can use it. So I said, okay, I-N-D-X equals document anchors length minus 1. So, how many A's was 4, right? We already know that. If I subtract 1, that's down to a 3. And so now, if I say document write the index, I write out the 3. And you can't really see that up there, but if you've got it on your screen, you can see it. And then I said document right and because that index is pointing to, and it tells me DOM. Okay, let me take away the ink and you can see the three. Hopefully, yes, now you can see the three. And so I'm taking the one with an index of three, which is DOM. And if I change this and made it one or two or whatever, I'd see a different one. And then I put up the two images, and then I said, okay. The first thing says there are how many images, and it comes back and says there are two images. And then I said, document right, the image is zero ID, but write it in uppercase. Okay? Convert it to uppercase. And then I said, take images one and convert its ID to uppercase. And so notice I'm writing right side up in uppercase and upside down in uppercase. And then I said, tell me what domain this is at. And it gives you the server is www.pgrosser.net. Well, actually, Dan? Hi, you want something?
Yeah.
Yep. I will be right back. Okay, so I've got my domain, document.domain is www.pgrosser.net. So this is just kind of showing you that one of the things that DOM does for me is it kind of gives me insider access. So I can go in and say, okay, how many anchors do I have? How many images do I have? I want to show the third image. I want to do something with the first image. It gives you a little bit of insider information, and that's sometimes helpful. Okay, questions? Going.
Why did you have the minus one?
Because, okay, in the world of computers, they like to drive you crazy. Okay, so essentially, length counts in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So when I said how many anchors length and how many other, it came back with a 4. So I know there are 4 images. However, they have an index or subscript because that number in the square brackets is an index or a subscript. They have an index or subscript of 0, 1, 2, 3.
Mm-hmm.
There is no fourth in that. So if I know that there are 4 and I want to see the last one, I have to subtract 1 from the 4. That gives me the 3, which will show me the last one. So the indexes start with 0 and the counting starts with 1. And I have to resolve that. So I do a lot of subtracting 1s.
Okay.
To resolve the difference between count and index. Okay. When I first learned to program, they were the same. And it was a much nicer world.
Yeah.
Okay. And for a while, Visual Basic allowed you to choose. I think they've given that up now. But they allowed you to choose. Okay. So, in this one, and for now, we're going to kind of ignore child notes, but, that's an alternative way of doing it, and I will just mention it. So, I've set up a division here, and I gave it an ID of course code, and I wrote CIS-122 Internet Developer. And then I set up a part that I called description. And so I have a division, and it's an ID of description, and that... excuse me. Yeah. It is the first sentence, basically, in the course description. And I ended it in div. And then I have another div, and it says, note that I'm going to use DOM getElementById, which is a method. GetElementById, that's doing something. So that's called a method. And innerHTML, which is talking about a object, talking about something, so that's a property. Using getElementById, we'll get the element with the specified ID, and then innerHTML gets the value of the text node associated with that element. So, I am saying now I want to get element by course ID and innerHTML, and I'm going to call that course info. And then I'm going to get element by ID description, and I'm going to take the innerHTML, which is all the text inside the division, and I'm going to call that, what did I call it? Course descript. And then I did a document write, and I wrote out course info, and I wrote out course descript. So I wrote them both out. So I was able to go and get the information that was there, and I rewrote them. You can also do that with a child node of zero, meaning the beginning, the first thing is zero, and it's called a child node of zero, and the node value gets you exactly the same thing. I do it with the innerHTML. Child node zero, in a more advanced course, we'll get into nodes. But they're basically a pain in the neck. In that white space can also be a node, and you can count text, and you can count white space, and all the rest of this. And I guess I don't have any idea why I actually put that in here. But it does show you that there is an alternative way of doing it. And if you ever run across child nodes, you can go and look them up. But I just really don't want to go any further than what I've gone today and just say that I'm grabbing the content. There's only one content in the division, so the zero grabs the content in that division. W3 Schools has a very good explanation of this stuff. So if you are fascinated by it, I would recommend W3 Schools. Okay. The next one is Basic 1A. And notice what I did here. I basically displayed the body in a pop-up. Okay. So there's the body displayed in a pop-up. And in order to do that, I wrote, basically, put up an alert that said, all body. So I actually don't know why I did those, because I didn't even show them. Because what I ended up doing is saying, all body equals the document, take the body. Take everything in the body. And then show it in an alert. Show the innerHTML. Well, the innerHTML, if I say take body, the innerHTML is everything I wrote. And so I'm taking everything I put inside the body, and you can see this is what's inside the body, and if I reload this, there is exactly what is inside the body. So it says this is a web page, and then it goes down, and you can see that they're exactly the same. Okay. So again, this is just some things showing you, and then we'll do how DOM works. Okay, this one is kind of interesting because it's using get element by tag name. Okay, so I am, the tags are things like div, p for paragraph, ol for audit list. Those are the tags. So I have now get element by ID, get elements by name, and I can also get elements by tag name. Now that Ella has an S on it, because chances are there's going to be more than one tag name in a program, in a code. So, therefore, it sets up an array, and the first division it finds, which is this one up here, that says ID equal course code, that's going to be division 0, and the next one is division 1, and the next one is division 2, and I thought there was more than that. But anyway, it basically goes through and gives each one a name. So, yeah, there is one further down. So then what I said is, document get elements by tag name div. Okay? And it is setting up an array of those. And then I said document write course description plus result 1, the inner HTML and result 1. Okay, so here I have result, this is 0, this is 1. So result 1 says this course emphasizes the technical side, etc. Okay? So again, this is in the divisions, this is 0, this is 1, this is 2, and this one is 3. So if I did a length, it would come back and tell me the before, talking about what we were talking about before. Okay, so I said here, document write course result, course description rather, plus result 1. Well, result is holding all of those divisions. So result 1 is going to be the one that says this course emphasizes. Okay, because result 1 has got all of those 4 divisions in it. Result is going to have all of the 4 divisions. And 1 is the one that says this course emphasizes. So I said document write the words course description, you can see them up there in red, concatenated with result 1, so it takes the this course emphasizes, and it's the result 1 inner HTML, so that means the text, and so it writes out the text. And down below, I wrote the result length, which would have been a 4. Again, it's hard to see because if you have it, you can see it. But when I put up the ink layer, you can't see the 4. But now you can see it. And then I said, so result, where am I? Document write result length, so it tells me there are 4 things. And then I said, okay, now let's go through that array using a for statement. Okay, so I'm saying for, and I'm going to start the index, and I call the index I, equal to 0. And then I'm going to say, I want to keep going as long as I is less than result length. Well, that means I is less than 4. And every time I go through, I want to add 1 to I. And so then I write out the inner HTML of result I. So result I means that it will first write out that this CIS 122 internet, because that's division 0. Then it will write this course, because that's division with a 1 after it. Then it will write note that I'm going as the 3rd one. And then it wrote now I'm going as the 4th one. So it went through and wrote each one, the inner HTML, for each of the divisions. What this is doing, and we'll see it even more next week, but what this is doing is just giving you incredible access to the page. And that's what DOM is for. Now you got to figure out how you're going to use it, but it gives you incredible access to see what's on the page and to manipulate what's on the page. And so that's why people like it. Okay, we're going to get through a couple more, and then we will finish up DOM next week. Which one am I on? I think that's the one I just did. So, 3. Okay, this one is basically another one where I'm changing things. So I said, I put up a button, and I called it change header. And I said, on click, change the header. And so it goes and changes the header. Now what's going to change?
The background,
the
font.
Background, the font,
and inner HTML.
The actual words. The inner HTML meaning the actual words. So if I run this one and hit click on change header, that's what I've got. Okay, it changed the background color to yellow. It changed the font family to Vedana. And it changed the inner HTML to say now, web page showing use of DOM. So it made all those changes to the page. And so internally, I can make all those changes. Okay. Number 4, I'm going to have to bring that down a little. Okay, again, this is just doing some manipulating. I asked it to tell me how many images there were. Okay, and then I asked it to tell me the ID of the 2 images. So the first ID of the first image is up, the next one is down. And then I told it to tell me what the last modification to this page was. And apparently I modified this last fall on November 16th. And I didn't change it this spring. So the last modification to it was last fall. And this one, I put up 4 images. And in this one, I did something where I put up the image once in HTML, and I put up the image once in JavaScript. So when I put it up in HTML, it just says image, and I put source in here. I put source right next to image. But that's not required. Keywords are what it's looking for, not location, not the spot in the thing. So I can say image ID equals up, source equals. Or I could have said image source equals ID is up. I can go either way on those. Okay? And so I put in the image, and then I went down and said, do a document write of the image. And so I did a document write of those images, and then I put them inside quotes, inside the parenthesis, and that puts them out in JavaScript. And then again, I asked for the length, I asked for the IDs, and I asked for the last modified. So the only really change on this one was that I went in and added the images both in JavaScript and HTML. And I think that finishes off the basics. Okay. The next, well, just quickly looking at this one. This is the first sentence in my division that I named first. If I click on this button, it changes the sentence. So I started out with one sentence. I put up an alert. When I finished the alert, I put up another sentence. Okay, so I changed the inner HTML to another sentence. Okay, the next examples I actually want you to look at, and we'll start out with those on Monday. They involve using external JavaScript, and I want to point that out to you. So I've got one of these. And notice if I want to use external JavaScript, I can say script type equals tech JavaScript, source is, and I put the name. So this is kind of like when you make external CSS and put CSS on a separate page. I can put JavaScript on a separate page. So there is my external JavaScript. Then down below, I've got the JavaScript, and that's what it looks like. So there's my external JavaScript. And like CSS, I don't put anything in to tell it it's JavaScript or anything else. I just have my two functions that I decided to put externally. And notice that the extension on the name is .js. Just like in CSS, it's .css. So my extension is .js. Okay, so what I would like you to do for next time is go through these last three examples in the two JavaScripts and see if you can figure out how they're working. I'll also obviously be putting up homework. But we're going to stop there next time. And then we'll move on and do the ones down here. But these involve having two or three things open at the same time. So it would be good if you would look through them and try to figure out how they're working. And then we will tackle them in the next class. And we have 3 extra minutes, so you are done. And I will put up homework tonight, so check. One of them is going to be the quiz. The end is in sight, folks. If you look at the calendar, next week and the following week are our two classes. What is going to happen is my goal is not to have much of anything to do the last week, although I will probably go over where some notes are and things like that. But if my goal is not to have a lot to do the last week. I will be giving you the final. Your final is a take-home final. You have 1 week to do it. And so I will be giving you the final. It is due on the day of the scheduled final. And it is due by the time the final is starting. But it's an online final because obviously it wouldn't be fair to have online students be able to take it online, and the rest of you have to sit in here and take it. So it's an online final, and it has to be submitted to me by the time the final starts, or I start subtracting points. I'm very fundamental. That has to be in by that time. You have a week to do it. It has to be in by that point. Okay.